If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
But you never know when guys like that go to a bad situation. Sometimes they're ruined. And that's what you have to concern. Les, can you hear us?
Yes, I fixed it. I'm sorry.
Nice.
I never change any of the settings on my laptop, but it just decides to change them itself. I guess, you know, it's bored or something.
One of those updates, you probably hit update and it changes.
Yeah. God almighty. But I'm here now. Thank you.
So Mike Gill gave you this grandiose entrance.
And oh, gosh.
Looking forward to see how you would react to it. So I don't want to put Mike on the spot, but PHLY, Les is doing work for them and our friends, Zach Berman and Bo Wolf over there. So great Eagles coverage. And obviously we're going to get to the draft with you, Les, but before you hopped on here, we were talking a little bit about Devontae Smith and the extension and, you know, the Eagles, this has been their philosophy since Joe Banner and Andy Reid really started it. So you were around for much of that.
Oh yeah.
Why don't more teams copy? That to me is the most successful part of the Eagles organization. You say $25 million for Devontae Smith, but that doesn't kick in until 2026. By that point, that's going to be so team friendly.
Yeah.
Jefferson, whether you're signs in Minnesota or somewhere else. Jamar Chase, whether it's Cincinnati or somewhere else. The wide receiver market's about to explode. And the Eagles get him for $25 million, and it doesn't start till 2026. Why don't other teams copy this more?
I don't know. If I had to guess, I would say risk. You know, Devontae is a great bet because he's young. He doesn't get hurt so far. You know what kind of person he is. He isn't going to do anything ridiculous and get thrown out of the league or anything like that. Other teams maybe just don't feel as, you know, the Eagles, it has bitten the Eagles. I mean, with Carson Wentz, it kind of bit them, but
it didn't,
you're right. It's a good way to do business. It's a good way to do business. And, I think there are teams that do it this way, but not that many. You're right. And it's very fortunate for the Eagles that a team like Dallas, which drafts pretty well and has more money, more real money than anybody else, you know, and a lot of ways to attract talent in terms of the practice facility and the national visibility and all that, that they handle their cap so poorly. But yeah, you're right. They do it the right way. That's probably one of Howie's strongest, well, it is Howie's strongest attribute. And, you know, it pays dividends. It definitely does.
And Les, I guess, you know, you were probably, you know, on the daily beat at the time when this was all happening. One of the things that bit them in the behind a few times was they would approach these guys early and then they would end up outperforming the contract. And then you would get some guys who got, you know, a little like your remembrance of like those situations and the possibility of that being an issue with some of the guys they have
here. Well, a long time ago, and the league kind of stepped in on this, actually. Joe Banner would, if a rookie came in and wasn't drafted in like the first round and didn't have a great contract and had a heck of a first year or first 2 years, Joe would jump in with a low ball extension offer and say, here's some money. And there were players who actually took this, and then they weren't at all happy, like after 4 years when they were still under contract for three more years to the Eagles, and they weren't making what their peers were making, and that created some real hard feelings in the locker room. And the league actually, there's some kind of, I've forgotten now what the deal is, but you can't sign a new deal in your second year, I don't think.
No, you got the third year. Yeah.
So, and
you're right. You know you're good when they change the rules on you. You know you're on to something. But you're right. There's always unintended.
So Joe Banner is Wilt Chamberlain, is what you're saying?
Hey, Joe, there's a lot of, and I was just talking to Joe Les about Devontae's contract. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of things you can criticize Joe for, but that's not one of them. Right. I mean, he was very good when it came to that aspect of it. And and that's where it started. Andy Reid and Joe Banner and the Eagles doing business that way.
With Joe, the problem was, and the reason he's not here working for the Eagles anymore, he wanted to win every negotiation.
Yeah.
And when you have great players that you want to be on your team for a long time, you don't need to beat them publicly
and
crow about it.
Yeah.
I think DeSean Jackson was Joe's Waterloo. DeSean Jackson wanted a new contract. He ended up behaving badly and he admitted it, kind of lollygagged through, I guess it was the 2011 season. Andy Reid felt like they wasted an opportunity there with DeSean, that, you know, with him not really committed, that they weren't very good. And he was tired of it, you know, because Joe wanted to prove a point. Joe wanted to win a negotiation with DeSean.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was unfortunate. I mean, he was so good at it that he kind of made that the point rather than the strategy.
Yeah, and that's same thing with trades, you know, another big Sixers loss. Sam Hinkie was that way. He wanted to win every trade. Right. Sometimes, you know, you want to make people happy, and there's a very fine line. There's things behind the scenes. You know, you don't want agents mad at you. You don't want to crow. A bunch of different things that can affect things down the road. So I think Howie handles that line a little bit better. And you saw when it came out, Jeff McClain reported Jake Rosenberg was leaving Les. There was all these agents on X and Twitter saying how great Jake was, what a great person Jake is. And
that's a curious move, by the way. I don't know what's up there.
He wants to be a GM and he's blocked here.
He going to do now? I mean,
that doesn't make a lot of sense considering how many front office people have been plucked from here. They had a job here.
Go ahead, Les.
He could have looked for another job in the league with their blessing, I guess. I mean, I don't understand. He said something about how he might go outside football. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I bet he's going to have a job pretty quickly, but okay. He's under contract. You know how it goes draft to draft. It's not like there's two different years in the NFL. Yeah, personnel people goes draft to draft. So his contract is up after the draft.
Good point.
And I think he's going to have a job pretty quickly. I personally, I think when they, you know, how he gave out the assistant GM title for the first time, he gave it out to two people. Alec Hallaby and who's the ops guy? John Ferrari.
Yeah.
And it wasn't Jake. I think that was it. And he was all right, I'm not going to be able to go where I want to go in this organization. I got to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And we'll see how it shakes out. But he's very good at his job. And I was shocked at how many agents chimed in and said, great guy, great person, great at his job. Mm-hmm. You don't have to win everything, to your point, right, Les. That's why I brought that up.
Yeah.
But you do have to win the draft, and that's my segue. So we'll shift it to the draft.
Well, I was going to ask Les the evolution of Howie as a GM, a drafter, and because it seems that he has stuck to his guns in terms of the free agent side and the reworking of the contracts. But have you seen an evolution in Howie as on draft day?
Yeah, I certainly have. Howie's had two really disasters as a drafter. I think he learned from both of them. The first one was his very first one in charge, 2011, which was a bizarre situation. If you remember back that far, some of our viewers probably weren't even born, but the NFL was in a lockout and they didn't have free agency that spring. There was no free agency. They hadn't signed anybody, and they went into the draft. And I think Joe actually was still around then, and even though Howie was the GM. And whoever's idea it was, they went into the draft with the idea that they were actually going to draft for positional need because they hadn't, you know, Howie talked last week about how you use free agency to plug gaping holes so that you don't go into the draft thinking, oh, my God, we've got to do this. You know, we can't possibly look at a guy in the first round who isn't an offensive tackle.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you don't want to be in that situation. Well, they were in that situation, they felt, in 2011 because they hadn't had any free agency. So that gave us Danny Watkins and Jaquan Jarrett and Curtis Marsh.
Oof.
You know, eventually they got to Jason Kelce in the sixth round, but that was the only draft pick of 2011 that was any good whatsoever. The rest of the draft was a total disaster.
Matthews.
Yeah.
I'm joking. They got the wrong Matthews. They always get the wrong brother in those situations.
But so, you know, that was one thing. He after that, I remember talking to him in Mobile the next year about, yeah, we're not going to do that again. We're not going to draft we're not going to be in a situation where we go into a draft thinking, oh my God, we have to have a starting such and such.
Well, that, you know what, Les? That to me exemplifies the Eagles' biggest strength with Howie Roseman. Everybody else is impatient. The Eagles have patience because Jeffrey trusts Howie. You have to learn. You make mistakes, you learn from them.
Yes.
You don't repeat them. And all these other, not everyone, but a vast majority of these GMs are, I'd like to call, GMing for their job every
day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's a good point.
That to me is, everybody makes mistakes.
Yeah.
The
other year that I was going to talk about was 2014, the year that Howie actually lost his job. That was the Marcus Smith year. And what happened was they were, I guess, 21 or so. I'd have to look it up, but they were right around where they are now. And they had a list of like half a dozen guys that they really wanted.
Yeah.
And one of Howie's things that he does do, and he still does it, and he does it very well, but every now and then it's going to, you can't be omniscient. He games out what the teams in front of him want and what they're likely to do. And kind of extrapolates to, okay, if this team and this team and this team don't want the guy that we're really looking at or a guy we're really looking at, then we don't need to move up, you know. So what happened that year was that first dozen or so picks went great. You know, that none of the guys that they had tabbed were off the board. It was wonderful. And then all of a sudden, right around the middle of the first round,
Yeah, everything they all came flooding
bang, off. Bang, 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 bang. Teams jumped in front of them.
Green Bay
jumped in front of them. Who was that? A safety?
Ha ha, Clinton Dix.
Yeah, ha ha, Clinton Dix. He didn't turn out to be a great player, by the way, no. But better than Marcus Smith. Teams jumped in front of them, and they were sitting there, and they had to trade back. And Chip, that was Chip's second draft, I guess. And Howie was telling him he'd get one of these six guys, and he didn't. And they traded back, and they got Marcus Smith, which compounded the error. You can trade back and still not draft Marcus Smith. But
yes,
they
yes.
did. And Marcus Smith was thinking he'd be called in like the third or fourth round. Most people were thinking Marcus. That's the only time under Howie they've ever done that, where they've drafted a guy in the first round that nobody thought was the first. Even Danny Watkins.
Even Jalen Reagor.
He was a disaster. Was drafted where everybody thought he was going to be drafted.
Yeah, you know? I think there's some revisionist history with Jalen Reagor. Like, the Eagles were the only team interested in Jalen Reagor. No, he went right where he was expected to go.
A lot of people thought Jefferson was better.
Oh, yeah. Most people did.
But Reagor and the other guy that the Eagles have now, there's another guy that was
That was the Brandon Ayuk year.
Paris Campbell.
Paris Campbell.
Yes. Thank you. Paris Campbell was considered right in that same bunch, you know.
In
2014, they screwed up the first round so badly that Chip was able to get Howie banished for a year. So I think he learned from that too, that you can't get too cute with gaming he moves up a lot more now, if you notice, than he used to.
Even last year, you bring up Ha Ha Clinton Dix, and you say, why did Howie move up to get Jalen Carter? He moved up one spot. Why? Why not just sit there and you still get Jalen Carter? Well, he's worried about somebody trading in, maybe because of what happened to
Ha
Ha Clinton Dix.
That's a great example that Les brings up with that story and tying it into what happened last year, why they make this move. Because he learned by sitting, someone might jump me, so I'm not letting that ever happen to me again.
Right.
So these are great examples of showing Roseman learning from past situations, or failures, if you want to call them that. But I like the fact that that story ties in with what happened the following year. Is he's not letting that happen again. And that's what makes this 22nd spot so interesting. Because, Les, I'd like to get where you think they are mentally.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job or your deodorant or your lunch or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
As a franchise, do they say we're a Super Bowl contender and this player here is a big part of helping us get to that? Or are we, like, 2 years ago, they went to Tampa, they got blasted, and then traded for A.J. Brown, James Bradbury they brought in, they got Chauncey. So they saw we're a wild card team, and they were aggressive to go become a Super Bowl team.
Right.
Is this offseason saying that they have the same mindset? We were a wild card team, they were very aggressive so far, and that we are one guy away or so to becoming that Super Bowl team like we were a couple of years ago?
Boy, that's a very good question, Mike. I don't know. To me, the real key to this season is Jalen Hurts and what happens with him. You know, they're a Super Bowl contender if they get the Jalen Hurts of 2 years ago, regardless of what happens on the defense or any of that. But to your point, I'm not sure 2 years ago that they really looked at it quite that way. I mean, a lot of those, my contention is sometimes pieces just fall on your lap. Like C.J. Gardner-Johnson, that happened, you know, serendipitously. You know, it just, they didn't plan for that. They didn't plan for Bradbury, really. The Giants just cut the guy right as training camp was starting. Sometimes the right pieces just show up on the board and you take them. And it doesn't always mean you have a wonderful grand strategy. And some years that doesn't happen, like last year. You know, but I do think they're a top contender. I mean, despite that ridiculous collapse last season, everybody knows the talent level they have. There's nobody that's not going to say in talent they don't have one of the top two or three teams in the NFC.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they're necessarily depending on a rookie starter to come in and transform anything, but the draft is very, very important this year. They have to get a corner, for one thing. I've been saying this for 5 years. You can't keep signing guys and bringing in guys off the scrap heap and patching and filling. You have to draft a good corner sooner or later.
They may have drafted one last year. I'm high on Kelee Ringo. Yeah, I don't know how high they are, but yeah. And obviously that's leader in the draft. You're talking, and they wanted to draft J.C. Horn and Patrick Surtain and Derek Stingley the year after. So those were guys in the mix, but sometimes
and Horn has been hurt almost his entire career now. Yeah. They dodged a bullet there.
Are you a proponent of the, if you can get an established player for your draft pick, you do it?
A.J. Brown.
If you can get A.J. Brown, sure. But an established player, how much does he have left? What's his injury history? I don't know. I mean, it depends on the established player.
Somebody in a similar situation as Brown, where maybe the team is in limbo. They don't want to pay him. And it's like, hey, we'll take 22 because we're in a much different spot than you're in right now. You can have our third.
I would love that. I don't know if that'll happen, but I would love that. That would be great. That would really, because you do have to kind of, on the one hand, they're in a little bit of a transition with leadership, you know, with Fletcher Cox and Kelce gone. But on the other hand, the clock is ticking for Lane Johnson. The clock's ticking for everybody. I mean, you just don't waste years of good players' careers. A.J. Brown, you know, is 26.
Well, you mentioned it, Les. The one guy you don't waste their years is when you pay that quarterback, you better go for it.
Yes. Yes. It's not, you know, they're not going to have Hurts at a real manageable figure forever. So, yeah, but I would look at that. But 22 is so interesting this year. Howie never drafts where he's – well, three out of every four drafts, basically, he trades up or down. But 22 usually is a bad place to be.
It is. For them, it has been.
It's like 15 to 18 first-round guys every year, and then you're drafting second-round guys. And I actually read a study several years ago, I don't know if it's still true, that guys picked in the 20s at the end of the first round tended to perform worse than the first few picks of the second round for some reason.
A lot of pressure, probably. Probably has to do with the expectations, the pressure, the assumption of having that tag, first round pick, always around your neck.
Well, I think the thesis was that teams tend to, toward the end of the first round, for some reason, they have a mindset of taking on guys who have talent, but maybe haven't put it all together or a little bit of a risk or something. And then when they start the second round, they're looking at guys that, okay, maybe this guy isn't a superstar, but he's going to play. He's going to be starter for 10 years. You know, I don't know if that's the case, but that at the time the piece was written, they had some pretty good information to back that up. But 22 this year, you're talking about five or six quarterbacks going in the first round, maybe.
Yeah, hopefully for the Eagles.
And that's what I'm getting to. And wide receivers, really good wide receiver draft. And while it would be nice to have a wonderful, great, you know, first-round talent wide receiver as the third receiver, that's certainly a luxury for the Eagles. So they're not really banking on getting one of the wide receivers or the quarterbacks, I don't think. So I think there's an excellent chance that a corner gets pushed down to 22. I don't know which one or if there's really a huge difference, and probably there is, but I'm not a scout.
Well, I want to throw my conspiracy theory at you, put on my tinfoil hat, because we just talked, Howie, about Howie's experience, Les. And if you caught his pre-draft availability, he got frustrated at a point when he was getting pushed on Hassan Reddick.
Yes.
And I thought it was very uncharacteristic. And
you brought that up.
He talked about it not being in a vacuum, the move. And, you know, we have too much time in between free agency and the draft. You know that. So we overthink these things. Yeah. And I've overthought this, no question about it. But here's what I want to throw at you. Howie kind of showed his frustration. It was like essentially settle down, wait and see. And I started thinking to myself, does this mean the Eagles medical staff cleared Leiatu Latu, the kid from UCLA, the edge rusher who had neck fusion surgery at Washington?
I had not thought of that possibility.
And that's going to be the other shoe where Howie says to poor Dave Uram, I told you, this stuff doesn't happen in a vacuum. Or am I just off the reservation?
Well, that is an intriguing thought that I had not considered. What I was thinking was Howie doesn't like being put in a box. And I think Hassan Reddick put Howie in a box. I think Howie knows that he didn't get great compensation for Hassan Reddick. What happened there was Hassan Reddick signed a deal. The Super Bowl season happened. Hassan Reddick was one of the top two or three defensive players in the league.
One of the great defensive years in Eagles history, by the way.
For what, $6 million a year or something like that?
15, but yeah. It was underpaid. Okay. Yeah, it was 3 years, 45.
Okay, all right. I guess I was factoring out the signing bonus there.
Yeah.
Hassan immediately, it was kind of almost like a Terrell Owens thing, except Hassan didn't trash the quarterback. Hassan immediately felt like he was underpaid. And this came up last year in training camp.
He was underpaid. He was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he certainly was. But it's a three-year deal, and you signed it. You know, I mean, that's kind of the Eagles. That was their point with Terrell Owens, and that was their point with Hassan. And Hassan, I guess I wasn't in the locker room, but I guess Hassan kind of got – he let it affect him a little bit. Maybe he chased the stats a little. Some teammates got rubbed the wrong way. The new deal didn't get done. And they got to a point where I don't think Hassan was going to play this year under the deal that he was under. And Howie had a gun to his head, and he traded a guy with a gun to his head. And either Hassan, there's no new deal. So
he still doesn't have a new deal with the Jets, by the way.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So Hassan is either going to play under that contract that he wasn't going to play under for the Eagles, or he's going to sign a contract that's going to make Eagles fans throw up their hands and go, why couldn't we have done this? Because there was so much bad blood that Hassan wasn't going to sign here, you know, for Howie's figure.
And you know how that works, Les. Guys will be willing to take a little bit less, but he feels disrespected because of all he did for Philadelphia. And there's no way you can pay Hassan Reddick less money than you're paying
That's
Bryce
the hard
up.
Part is trying to trying to convince a guy, the business side of it is, hey, you agreed to the deal at below market value, but I can't pay you 2 years down the line for a year you had 2 years ago.
Yeah, that never works. And, and players always want that, and it never works that way. You don't get paid for what you've done. You get paid for what you're going to do. And
you get paid for what you've done at that time, and you agreed to the deal that you took for what you did. You want to be blaming somebody, blame your agent for making you for taking that deal. You could have said, hey, I was in Arizona. I had double-digit sacks. I went to Carolina and got double-digit sacks again. I'm worth more than what you're paying me. Right. And the agent's saying, I can't get you anything else. This is what you're going to take. Well, then don't be mad at the Eagles for offering that and you accepting it. That's where this whole thing gets out of line. And then you say, well, I had 18 and a half sacks. I outperformed that contract. Well, I'm sorry. What do you want me to do? This is what we agreed upon. Yeah. You can't just rip up someone's contract every single year they outperform.
I pretty consistently said, Les, if I were Hassan Reddick's agent, and I'm not, I would have advised him to hold in last year coming off the Super Bowl. His leverage was never – now, you can't hold out anymore because you have these massive fines and they change the rule and you can't waive them. Back in the old days, you just waived them. So – guys show up. Danielle Hunter did this. He shows up and he's not practicing because he's got a groin. Yeah. If you remember, Hassan Reddick showed up to training camp last year and had a groin injury. And that's where the speculation started. We're like, is he holding in?
That's right.
He should have held in. Yeah. He had the most leverage.
Yeah.
And maybe it could have tweaked the deal, but we are where we are. Yeah, and we are where
but
we are.
I like your theory. I like your theory. I hope that's. I hope he does have that in his back pocket. I just kind of thought he was being. You know, I thought he was in a position that he didn't want to be in. That's probably very rarely in.
Oxen's razor. Simplest explanation is
you reacting badly. Yeah. Reacting badly to it. He could have. He made an allusion to. If you want me to go through all the history of how you build a roster.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, you don't have to do that, but you could say, hey, you know, here was the situation. People would have been sympathetic. Here was the situation. This factor, this factor, this factor. You could have said it in 1 minute. You know, you didn't have to.
And he's usually good at deflecting stuff. That's what I mean. He's usually very good at deflecting stuff. So I took it. It raised an eyebrow from my perspective.
Yeah, me too.
Why is he getting so frustrated? At Les Bowen. Now writing for PHLY, doing a great job there. Les Bowen's John, if you want to check it up, he's still got that up as well. Les, draft is upcoming. You seem to be leaning cornerback. I don't even want to let you to a player. You think it's going to be cornerback, offensive line. I go back and forth every day. Adam Schefter said they're trying to trade up for a cornerback. And then Albert Breer said they're trying to trade up for an offensive lineman.
Who's either one could be true. It seems like maybe from what I'm reading, and I don't, you know, I'm not at the combine these days. I'm not at the Senior Bowl. I'm not calling agents. I'm not, you know, doing that stuff. But it seems like there aren't that many offensive tackles that are first-round guys this year, real first-round guys, like Lane Johnson-type first-round guys. It would be entirely in their wheelhouse to trade up for an offensive line.
Oh, yeah.
The corner, I still say that's something – you got to pay the piper, you know, unless Kaylee Ringo is really what you think he is, they have to draft a corner first or second round this year. Maybe there's one in the second round. You know, Sheldon Brown was a wonderful second round pick at corner
a
long, long time ago. And they got Lito that year at 26 in the first round, by the way.
Yeah.
Lito, the guy I kind of think has been, I don't know what the word is, disparaged unfairly, is Wiggins from Clemson, because he's skinny.
He's very skinny.
Well, he's 6'2", and he runs of, what, 4'2"?
Oh, he's fine. There's no question about that. I'll fatten him up.
Send him over to my house.
Yeah. Well, by the way, Devontae Smith is supposedly up to 190.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how that turns out. Is he still as fast at 190 as he was?
Yeah. And that's big for Devontae.
Still smooth.
Yeah. He's getting that dad strength now. He's a father. He's getting the
he's going to look like AJ. Strength. We're not going to be able to tell them apart. You know.
I don't. All right.
Les Bowen, good to see you, man. Draft day Thursday. Guys. It'll finally tell us what they do in just about 48 hours from now. Les, thanks, bud.
Thanks, Les. Thank you, guys. This was great.
Yeah. Les Bowen, everybody. PHLY. Enjoy what they're doing over there. We've got you here for one final segment coming up next on Birds 365.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now. Save big.